in to this time as we look at your word and we look at this topic, Lord, we pray. In fact, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and move to the deeper places, into the deep waters of our hearts, the deep waters of our souls. Would you give him permission? Lord, I give you permission and access to the deeper places in me now. Take me in. I invite you in. I give you permission. Amen. Okay, who needs a bulletin? Rephrase, who needs a fan? Okay, raise your hand. We've got bulletins, fans coming your way, you're responsible for your own temperature control. So please fan yourselves, act like you're in the South, and really thank the Lord because, you know, we only get this like a couple of Sundays a year. You know, in the South, it's every, you know, it's half the time. So, okay. Hi, I'm Randy. I'm a visiting pastor. It's great to be with you all. If you're new, I've been here a time or two. No, I've just been gone for a few weeks, but it's good to be back. It's really good. So, launching in, who here has a regular workout routine? You work out. Honest engine here. Okay. A bunch of you do. That's awesome. Okay. I need a volunteer. Somebody who works out regularly. Come on now. Need a volunteer. Who will come up? Okay, Johnny. Johnny Z. All right. Thanks for volunteering, buddy. All right. So, Johnny, I just want you to stand here for the audience to see you, okay? Now, I'm gonna give you. This is just an ordinary piece of yarn, okay? And I want you, to see if you can break that.
Break it.
Yeah, see if you can break that. Okay. Wow, that's cool. All right, that's good. That's good. Okay, now let's see if you can break two. Ooh. Okay. All right, buddy. Wait, that's two. You already showed us that. All right, let's see if you can break three. Oh, a little bit harder, a little bit harder. All right, let's see. Now, last hour we had like a Taekwondo master up here, and he got stopped at four. Let's see what you can do.
Man.
I know, it's like, can you beat the Taekwondo master? Oh, baby! Woo! And I'm sorry, but I've only got three left, so that's the end of the discussion. Thank you very much. Well done, well done. Wait. Come here. All right, question. Sorry. Was one difficult to break?
Not too hard, no.
Was two more difficult than one?
Definitely.
Was three more difficult than two?
Yes.
Was four more difficult?
Okay.
All right, thank you. That's all we needed to hear. All right, have you guys heard this concept before anywhere? Maybe Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. I don't think Solomon is thinking sort of, you know, like actually physically falling down. I think he's thinking metaphorically. And we've all fallen down, right? A time or two. We've all fallen on our faces. I've fallen on my face more times than I can count. And Solomon's saying, you know, pity the person who is the one strand, who is alone. Though one may be overpowered, okay, two can defend. Imagine in life, how would you imagine being overpowered in our life? We think of that, we see that, and we think of, you know, militarily overpowered, but what other ways do we get overpowered? Financially? In our own just hearts, emotionally overpowered? Right? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Scripture, according to this, places the need for friendship at the level of survival. See that? It's at the level of survival. Your need for friendship is at the level of survival, being broken. Jerry did an awesome job last week showing us what it looks like to love one another in community. He talked about having patience and long-suffering. He talked about forgiveness. And today I want to go one step further, deeper into that same topic. I want to talk about a topic that brings both great joy and deep pain. I want to talk about friendship. I want you to think about your friends. Who would you consider your closest friends? Who would you consider a strand level friend? Okay, we all have friends, but who's one of your strands in the cord that keeps you from breaking? Think about, get their faces in your head. Who are they? Why did you pick them? What about them makes them a strand? What about your relationship with them makes them a strand? One UCLA study argues that pursuing, listen to this, and having close friendships because of the stress-reducing benefits of close friendships reduces the risk of early death. They say close friendships can add 10 years to your life. Dr. Dean Ornish, a pioneer of reversing heart disease, because this guy's a heart surgeon, said this: no other factor in medicine, not diet, not smoking, not exercise, not stress, not genetics, not drugs, not surgery, has greater effect on how often we get sick. No greater effect on how often we get sick than the healing power of friendship. These are doctors that are studying, they're finding out people with close friendships, healthier, less sickness, live longer. One researcher, a psychologist, she decided to do a research project. For a year, she chose several depressed women in a clinic, and she pursued them for friendship over 1 year period of time. And she tried to meet with them weekly just to be their friend, not counseling, just to pursue them. How's your heart? What's going on? Tell me about your life. 71% of those women after 1 year did not need antidepressants anymore, which is the same statistics for using antidepressants. Friendship cured 71% of those women's depression. Interesting. A cord of three strands, not easily broken. Level of survival. I've been to the breaking point as a pastor here at Adventure several times. Now there'd be just several deaths in a row and the emotional weight of that, or different things just being in ministry. And I have been rescued time and time again by friendships. Often it's the guys on lead team. You know, they'll notice something's up and they'll go, okay, agenda out the window. We're going to go buy a bunch of junk food, and they're going to start feeding me junk food and like, okay, spill it, you know? And they know that's the way to get me to talk, you know? And so, and then, you know, they let me dump my truck for 2 hours, and the issues didn't necessarily go away, but I can still remember going home and laying in bed at the end of those and just going, I want to go on. Now I want to go on. Now I want to continue fighting in this battle. Rescued. One story, a couple of years ago, Debbie lost her dad. And through the sickness, it was a very quick cancer sickness, and him passing, going to be with the Lord, We would drive down to Oregon like a couple of times a week for about a month and a half. It just seemed like we were back and forth constantly, and we were absolutely spent. I mean, we felt like, I was thinking, how did I feel? And it was as though the color went out of our eyes is the feeling, like it was almost white on white, like we're zombies. Like we were wondering, are we going to make it? And Jeff and Karen Colt, I think they saw that and noticed it because they have experienced loss in their family, and so they called and said, "Hey, can we go out to dinner?" And so they took us to Redmond, this Italian restaurant, which is fantastico. Okay, it's what's the name of that restaurant? Do you remember? I've gone there, highly recommend it. Ask them later. Anyway, so they take us to this restaurant. I have some sun-dried tomato penne dish or whatever. Anyway, which is wonderful. At the end, they were like, "We're going to pay." And I was like, "Really?" And they're like, "Yeah, we're going to pay. And we have a surprise for you." So we walked out and they're like, "May we blindfold you?" And so like, okay. And so they blindfold us, you know, and they put us in the car and we, you know, get car sick driving around and we get to wherever we stopped and they're walking us, you know, into this place, you know, and you could kind of feel, I could see down cause I'm like looking down, you know, and cheating. And I could see we're in some building, some room. And then they set us down on these big recliners, like chair things. And they go back like beds. And then it's a head, shoulders, and foot massage place. Okay? So these people start, you know, whatever the massage place, they take off your shoes and they start washing your feet, which I was a little creeped out by at first. But now I've realized the glories of head, shoulder, and foot massage, if you haven't tried it. And so, and they were just like, "We just want to do this for you because we know it's been a tough month." And all I can tell you is physically something that had been depleted re-entered our souls. I mean, like somehow through the grief and the pain of loss, we were resurrected. It was in a very short amount of time. Not that all the grieving's over or anything like that, but it was like we could go on. I can't explain why the power of being loved by that, like that from friends, had that much impact, but it did. It did. We'll never forget the impact of that. And here's the interesting thing about that. Do you know what they used to make all that happen was their money and their time? You know, Jesus actually tells us to do that. Have you ever noticed this verse? I've always scratched my head at this verse. "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Is that Jesus telling us to buy friendship? I think so. By the way, I'm a friend that can be bought. Just in case you wondered. No, I don't think he's saying buy friendships. I think what he's saying is, like the Colts did for us, is they used what God had given them to love some friends who were really needing to be cared for, and these strands in our rope held us fast and actually resurrected us. And I asked the Colts if I could share that story because it's a very private thing, and they're like, "Now everybody's going to want us to do that." And so they're going to be in the back, and you can just sign up at the end. it's interesting. He said, "You'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings." I think that's what we experienced. We felt like a taste of heaven in that way of being loved. And so think about your friendships again. Think about those faces, you know? What does it mean to really be a friend? What does it mean for someone to offer you friendship and for you to offer them friendship? What does it look like? What was it meant to look like? after my parents split up, My mom and I moved to a small shack on the sort of other side of the tracks, and I was the only white kid in my neighborhood, and I could still remember as an 8-year-old, going out with my baseball mitt because the kids were playing catch, kids everywhere. Kids are playing catch in the front yard, near the front yard, their front yard, and I'd go out there with my mitt, and now you can't play with us. And they were playing kickback, and I'd pick kickball, and I'd stand out there, I wasn't invited in. And so my mom had this brilliant idea, and I've shared this before with, she gave me a box out of the freezer of ice cream sandwiches, she's like, go, there are a bunch of kids playing next door, just go and offer them some ice cream sandwiches, and so I'm like, well, I come out there, and I got to the place where the fence was broken, and I kind of got through, and I'm, you guys want an ice cream sandwich, and it was like a school of piranhas taking bites out of an injured fish, and I still remember that out-of-body experience, looking down on myself, holding the empty box of ice cream sandwiches, and the kids were gone. I mean, they had just gone into the neighborhood, and what I longed for the most was a friendship, and friendship was denied me. Friendship can bring the greatest joy and some of the greatest pain in our hearts. Why? Because, several reasons, it's rare. True friendship is quite rare. Charles Peggy said, love is rarer than genius itself, and friendship is rarer than love. True friendship. Charles Colton, true friendship is like sound health. Some of you older people really get this one. The value of it is seldom known until it be lost. You younger folks, it's hard to imagine not being able to see anymore. In the last 5 years, I've lost my eyesight in a lot of ways. It's amazing. You don't realize what you have until you lose it. And that's true for friendship. And I asked the Lord about this. Lord, what do you think about, how do you feel about friendship? Is this a really spiritual topic? Is this really important to you? Do you think it's the whole topic of friendships kind of seems a little bit like a peripheral thing? You should have friends like you should work out. You should have friends like you should take your vitamins. How big a deal is it to the Lord? So I asked him, and you can just weigh this. This isn't just in my journal. He said this. This is painful. Friendship, in the topic of friendship, is painful, Randy, because it's exactly what's missing at the heart of humanity with me. The ache is at the level of the soul, and the ache can only be quenched fully by me, and this is what I'm motivated by in regard to you. So take your longing for friendship, if you can taste it, and apply that to God for his relationship with you, and you get a tiny taste of what he feels. He is the center of the bullseye, of the middle, of the core, of the universe, and what everything is about is friendship. He's after friendship with you. That's why you want friendship. Jesus actually said that the greatest love in the universe is friendship love. Do you know that? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you my friends because everything I've learned from the Father I've made known to you. It's the highest love. Well, what isn't marriage like the highest love? Well, if you've got a really close friendship in your marriage. We all long for connection. We long for a friend who shares our thoughts, our dreams, our life. We want that because we're like God. Above all other things, God is relational. And because he's triune, three persons in one essence. He's always enjoyed a friendship that is intimate and interdependent, where trust and affection flow freely. God has never done anything by a 2-to-1 vote. It's always been unanimous. And you're created in his image. That's why you long for friendship like you do. Unless you've killed that longing, which many people do because of the pain that goes along. One side of the coin with friendship is joy, and the other side is pain. So one ancient proverb says, hold a true friend with both your hands. Why? Why does it say that? Hold a true friend with both your hands. Because they're a rare gift and difficult to hang on to. So we try. We step out. Think about your friendships. Have you stepped out in friendship and ever gotten burned? Anybody? Okay. Here's a pain side. It's that ice cream sandwiches, right? Have you ever stood with ice cream sandwiches as an offering and gotten a no vacancy sign, you know? And what conclusions do we come to when we step out and we try? We invest, we try in a friendship, and it's not reciprocated, it doesn't go well. What are the conclusions we draw? Yeah. Is that a hand? Oh, you were just waving. Good. Okay.
I'm not worthy of a friend.
Okay. There's something wrong with me, right? I'm not worth loving. I'm just not one of those people. Other people have these close friendships. I see them everywhere. Randy talks about people taking him to dinner. Nobody's taking me to dinner. You know, what's wrong with me? There must be something wrong with me. Yeah. Huh?
Maybe you're just not wanted.
I'm just not wanted. Yeah. I've tried. I'm just the person that's not wanted. Yeah. What other conclusion do we come to?
Either I'm not enough or I'm too much.
I'm not enough. There's something about me that's unacceptable. Good.
Or I'm annoyingly too much.
Yes. Yeah. What other conclusions? Yeah. I didn't quite hear that, but that's okay. Anybody else? Other conclusions? Yeah.
This is too hard.
It's just too difficult. The pain isn't worth the gain, right? What else? What else happens? Yeah.
I don't deserve it, and I deserve to be alone.
I don't deserve it, and I deserve to be alone. By the way, any of these conclusions ringing true, start by renouncing and rejecting them. You'll never move into the kind of friendship God has designed you for if you're under that garbage. You've got to renounce it. It's all BS. Can I say that in church? Baby snot. Baby snot. Baby snot. Okay. All right, so here's a pain isn't worth the gain. Actually the pain, according to God's word, is worth the gain. But there's two sides of the coin. Building friendship does require some courage to deal with the pain. You got to have courage to deal with it. It takes effort. It takes initiation. It takes time. It takes money. The other one you guys mentioned, something's wrong with me. There's just something wrong. I'm this. I'm not that. I've just got issues. And you know what the truth is about that? You're right. There is something wrong with you. So let's just deal with it. Let's just admit it, okay? We're all fallen people. Every last one of us. And therefore, yes, you can be too much at times and too little at times. And we can learn. Who do we love the most? Who do we tend to focus on the most? Ourselves, because we're fallen, right? And so we could stand to do a lot of learning when it comes to loving others well and becoming more effective lovers with more finesse. We're all on that road. And so that is partly true. Something is wrong with me. And another one that I think is a conclusion that first hour they came up with, I thought was interesting. They are not good Christians because they failed to receive me well. We make conclusions about life, ourselves, and then others, right? Have you done that? And that conclusion, they're not as good of Christians, you know, they're not good Christians because something's wrong with them, is often jumped to without near enough information. That is jumped to without near enough information. We have entire conversations with our friend that things are a little tension. We have entire conversations in our minds. And we play their side too. You know, we give them the benefit of doing their dialogue for them. And so we have this entire conversation. And at the end of that conversation with ourselves about with the other person that they're not included in, we end up drawing all these conclusions about them and about the relationship and never giving them the benefit to actually have the conversation. And then we make decisions and take steps and maneuvers in the relationship based on those unhad conversations that we had. See what I'm saying? So this conclusion is come to far too early. Far too early. And the truth is that there really aren't good Christians or bad Christians. They're really just children of God who are unfinished. They're, you know, in process. And let me tell you this. Beyond your friendship with God, you can't have a friendship with an unfallen and finished person. They don't exist. So to enter into friendships means you're going to enter into a relationship with somebody who has issues, just like you. So you can either decide to expect perfection and stay alone, or you can get muddy with your friend. You can dive in. Jesus didn't demand that the disciples, think about those knuckleheads. I mean, these guys are unfinished. They're messy guys. Jesus would point out things, but he didn't demand they not have issues before he got in the mud. And if you want to have a friendship, and you're going to enter into it, you're going to be a good lover, you're going to have to be able to get messy with people. A few years ago, a guy was sharing with me, He was from Texas, and he was like, I got to tell you about my Band of Brothers. Now, Band of Brothers is a group of guys that get together, and they share their life stories, they share their hearts, they tell kind of what they're dealing with and struggling with, and they just listen to each other's lives and walk together. He was getting misty-eyed, and he was like, I lost my dad. My dad died before I was born in Korea. And I kind of shared my story, and the guys in my Band of Brothers were listening to this, and I kind of said, I need to go to Arlington National Cemetery and visit his grave. And I think I'm going to do that this year. And these four other guys said, we're coming. We're buying tickets, and we're going to go to Arlington with you. Do not go without us. Okay, just think about that. That's your friend. And you're going to take time off work. You're going to buy a ticket. You're going to take a significant financial hit. And this guy's like, he said, I can, and he's, this is when he really misty-eyed. He's like, they stopped 100 feet away from my dad's tombstone. They let me walk up by myself, and they were just praying for me. So I heard that story, and like three things went through my mind. One is, I want friends like that. Don't you? Two was, I don't know if I see hardly any There's very few. Like, what we call friendship is very different from, I am taking off time, when you're ready to go, I'm taking time off work, and I'm going with, we're flying with you. I mean, do you know, rhetorical, do you know friends like that? Do you have friends like that? Some of you do. The third thing was, I knew that in order to have friends like that, I needed to be that friend. Because there's so few, I figured, well, maybe I can become one, and then that would make more of those kind of people around. You know, I think that's the most important thing from this morning to get is, if you can be a friend like that, if you made your goal to be a friend like that, you're like Jesus Christ. You're like Jesus Christ. Jesus said six times in the Gospels, if a man seeks to gain his own life, he will lose it. But if he loses it for my sake, he'll what? Gain it. I can't have what I'm unwilling to give. Do you expect friends to go further than you're willing to go? I can't be loved if I don't love. I need to be the giver and let God take care of me being given to. Okay, so I just want to go through a few how-tos with you before we end here. How to be an awesome friend, okay? Number one, if you want to, it's okay to use your phone to text these down if that's how you keep notes. I've decided now that how good a message is depends on how many texts get sent during the message time. So if it's like a 5-text Sunday, it was an awesome message. If it's a 30-text Sunday, then the message kind of was lame. All right, so we're gonna come up with some way to capture the number of texts sent during a message, and then we'll be able to know. And I'll never see it, but when I stand in the back and somebody else is speaking, I notice. I know you guys are like this. You've got the very pious sort of I'm listening, you know, kind of. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just really off track, but I was noticing last week when Jerry was speaking, man, there was a text flying out of here. So, anyway, so, all right, he's going to follow me up today at the end of this message, so I load your cannon. All right, so, number one, keep God your best friend. We have an infinite capacity to receive love because we were made to be loved by an infinite being. And it's like the satellite dish. Love me, you know, and it's like water through a shopping cart. We get loved and it's like, it's gone, man. That was awesome. Where's the next torrential downpour? And as soon as you turn that toward your friendship or your spouse or somebody like that, it's too much. You'll be hurt. It'll ruin the friendship. So keep God in the place of your satellite dish turned to, okay? And then love the friendship, pursue the friendship at the level that friendship is meant to be. And so, and then a great way to get started on that is just asking the Lord, who should I pursue? Spend some time listening, journal about it. Lord, who should I fight for? Who should I pursue? It's a very wise thing to ask the Lord. When somebody's pursuing you for friendship, to say, Lord, am I supposed to dive into this? Am I supposed to go deeply into this friendship? Another one is you're going to have to fight for it. And some ways to do that are three ways. Initiate. Are you an initiator in friendship? Raise your hand. I'm an initiator. I'm one of those initiator kind of people. I'm a responder. Raise your hand. I'm a responder. Raise your hand if you didn't raise your hand. Okay. So those of you who didn't raise your hand, are you an initiator? Simon says, all right. if you don't initiate, the message is, I'm not really interested. If that's the message, say it in a loving way, but say it. Another one is it's going to take time, energy, communication, long suffering. Did I say money? Change your family budget and add a line item that says friendship and put some money in that monthly if you're a budgeter. If it's the center of the core of the universe for God, why wouldn't it be part of your budget? This is Daryl and Mary Johnson. This is Debbie's dad and mom. And this is Brad and Phyllis Hamburger. Brad has the Less Endowed hat. And then this is Steve and Sherry Cole. And these guys became friends in their 20s. And very rare. Their lives have become really an example to Debbie and I. They decided in their late 20s, they started having kids, and they're like, we're going to plant our flag. We're going to choose career and job direction to stay together, to learn how to raise our kids together as godly young men and women. And they did. One time, Daryl and Mary had to move to California because he was in construction. And there was the construction dried up here, but there were fantastic Sams being built, and he got the job, and so he had to move down to California just to make it. And these guys drove them down with moving trucks. They did vacations in California to stay tight, and then they moved right back up as soon as work opened up here. And they did everything. They've done everything together. They've vacationed together, hunting, fishing, girls, getaways. They've fought through the challenges. They even went into business together. And it just about destroyed the friendship. But, and there was some deep need for forgiveness that was surrounding that whole going into business together. They fought through it. They said, the relationship's more important. I'd rather be wronged or feel like I'm going to release financial loss to keep the friendship. They chose the friendship over their financial situation. And that's them in their mid-60s. Now two of them, Brad and Daryl, are fishing in heaven and hanging out in heaven. But it's amazing to watch... to get to watch for the last 20 years, these families stay tight and fight for their friendship. Is that rare? Do you want that? Is there anything in you that wants that? It will not happen unless you're deliberate. It will not happen unless you choose. See, and we can't even think that way anymore. Like, we're in America in the 21st century, and America in the 19th century and the first half of the 20th century, oh, yeah. I mean, families actually stayed together. They had kids, and they live in the same towns, and you know what I mean? But in our culture today, somehow that's been lost. But these guys, it took forgiveness. It's taken battle. It's taken time. All those sorts of things. All right. Where am I at? Not there. Okay, I just wanted two sides of the friendship coin. Proverbs 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So a friend loves when the times are good and when the times are bad. Okay, two sides of the coin. Becoming difficult to offend and speaking the truth in love. Are you difficult to offend, or are you easy to offend? Do you get offended easy? Are you kind of... Here's another way to ask it. Do you have a series of friendships that you have written off because you've been hurt? That might suggest that you're easy to offend. People's porcupine quills are challenging for you. Usually being easy to offend is about unhealed wounds and or turning your satellite dish to the person instead of the Lord. We need to learn to become difficult to offend because people have issues. People are messy. And so ask yourself, are you easy to offend? Are you difficult to offend? The other side of the coin is, even if you're difficult to offend, things come up in friendship that must be addressed for the friendship to move forward. Have you ever had a friendship that you kind of got to an impasse? Or like it wasn't going to go any better until something happened. And you need to talk. You need to tell the truth in love. Take a look at this passage. What does it mean when it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love?
Keep your book wide open.
Keep your book wide open.
You care.
Okay, you care enough to what? Tell the truth. Better is, what's rebuke? It's to correct. Rebuke is correct. Old Italian proverb, Sicilian proverb, a true friend will tell you when your face is dirty. A true friend will stab you in the front. Yeah? Yeah. Better is open correction than hidden love. It's one thing, you know, it's easy to be in a friendship where I just love them. Yes, they have these issues, but I'm just choosing love because that sounds really spiritual. But Scripture says better is to say it straight. Just loving and not saying anything when there's issues isn't love. Okay? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. How many of you have experienced an iron sharpening iron friendship? Honestly, where you're like, you say it straight. Like, hey, and it survives. That's a taste of heaven. If you know you can trust somebody enough, both directions, that you can tell them and they're not going to dump you. You can tell them straight what you see going on with them and they're not going to dump you. They're going to stick in the friendship. And they can tell you, they have permission to really say it straight to you, and you will not allow it to offend you away. You'll work through it. That is a taste of heaven. That's a taste of heaven. But it requires a lot of willingness to look at yourself. A couple more. Pride is your mortal enemy. Swallow it. Pride, you cannot maintain pride and deep friendship at the same time. Cannot maintain pride and deep friendship. Jerry shared last week how humility is a critical component to loving well. You have to be able to swallow your pride. Let me ask you, when's the last time you said to somebody, a friend, I really missed you. I really blew it. I really screwed up. Would you forgive me? I didn't tell you the truth. You remember the last time you owned like that? If it's been a long, long time, there might be a chance that you're hiding in your relationships and you're not addressing the real things, or you're Jesus Christ. So Another one is forgiveness. You must truly forgive. Jerry talked about this last week. I mean, really releasing somebody from an offense. You're not going to be in close strand for your rope kind of friendship without the need to forgive. You can't live that much love and connection without hurting each other. You've got to be willing to release those hurts and let them down. It's so important. Jesus said, if you're unwilling to forgive, then you will not be forgiven. And then the last one is communicate what you feel. Communicate what you feel. Okay, so let's just quick scenario. You're in a friendship and it's imbalanced. You're doing all the pursuing. They're not really initiating back. You're doing all the work. You're pursuing this friendship. What do you do? How do you communicate about that? What would you say? What would you do? Yeah.
First you talk to God.
First you pray. Yes, awesome. Communicate to God. Okay, next. And then do what he says. Okay, but what? What more? Give me some ideas. What would you say? What's some way you would approach that? Does that happen? Is that a realistic scenario? Yeah. What do you do? Say that again. Hey, it hurts my feelings when you don't initiate, don't call. I call, you don't call. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Say something positive at the front end, and then open the barrels. Yeah.
So I work with people, and that's what I do. I always start out with something really nice, then I'll kind of kick them a little bit.
Correct. Well. Rebuke. Sorry. Encourage. Correct. Encourage. I've heard that. Yeah.
It'd be really hard to hear their answer, but I'd have to not have pride and be willing to forgive the fact that we may not have the same viewpoint, whether that friendship is something that.
Yeah.
I mean, not every conversation where you have like a little disagreement has to go to the, do you even want to be friends? But you know, like.
So she's going for the jugular. Like, do you want this? And it's okay if you don't. But I would just love to know. I want to communicate at that level. It's really okay. If you remember nothing else, remember this. If you remember nothing else, remember this. Communicated desire is the fuel for any relationship. But it's dangerous fuel. It's jet fuel. Communicated desire. I would love to have a close friendship with you. I really enjoy you. I really want to be with you. When I'm with you, it's awesome. I feel like I grow from it. I enjoy our time together. What I really want to know is, do you feel that way? Would you like to move forward? Or are you not feeling that way? And that's totally cool. That's totally cool. My door is always open to you. Hands open. See, friendship is something you hold on with open hands, with all your might. And communicating desire, always start with desire. If you start with, you're not initiating. Or you do the psychology, you know, let's do the I feel statements. I feel like you're not initiating. You know, it just basically is putting something on the front of it that gives you permission to accuse. No. I feel statements should be what you're really feeling. I feel like I want more. I feel like I desire. I would love this. It's dangerous. It's risky. It could push you to never wanting to do it again, but you have to fight through that and why you need to renounce those things. All right, I'm out of time. I'll just say this while Jerry's coming up. the relationships, I was thinking through the people I feel the most emotional attachment to in my friendships have been people who have said, have communicated desire for the relationship. People who have verbalized, who have spoken out, taken the dangerous step to say, I feel this way about you and I want this. Few do it because it's so dangerous. So you have to ask yourself, do you agree with Scripture? Is it pain worth the gain? Jerry, please take the clicker and react.
Yeah, wow, react. What were you talking about again? Oh, yeah, friendship, that's right. No, actually, I had a couple of suitably cutting rebuttals to that, but I realized that my role as a friend is to walk alongside those people who are more in process still than I am, so I'm going to take that road right now, and then we're going to move on. No, it was good. I actually had an interesting situation with a friend I've known for a few years, and about a month ago, I realized, wow, we haven't connected for a while, so I sent him a text, said, hey, let's get together, have lunch, maybe chat for a bit. Never got a response. So, of course, what's the first reaction that you have to that? Uh-oh, he doesn't want to talk to me. Instantly, I go there. So things come up, I go on vacation, I'm gone for a while, didn't really think much about it. I get back, and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what's going on with that. Then you're in this awkward place of, do I try to reinitiate contact again? And then you're thinking, well, yeah, maybe not, maybe so. And literally in the middle of thinking about that, I get a phone call, and it's from him. He said, oh yeah, I want to let's get together and have lunch. So we met last Wednesday and we chatted. Sat down with him, and he said, yeah, man, I got the worst phone call this morning. Just really bad news. Let's talk about it. So for the next hour and a half, we pretty much just chatted about what was going on in his life. And at the end, we're walking out of the restaurant, and I said, hey, yeah, I sent you that text. Did you ever get that? What text? So number one, kids, don't rely on texting for your relationships. And number two, stay in school. So it was a good reminder that Randy gave us today that friendships are critical, relationships are critical, but there's a lot of opposition because it's so close and so near to God's heart. So I would encourage you to think on that this week and think about different relationships that you may be being led to press into again. So if we could have the ushers up, let's have our offering, and let's pray for that. Jesus, thank you for friendship. Thank you for your friendship. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to press into that and what that can look like in our lives and what a blessing that can be. And Lord, we pray that you would use our offering today to bring the message of relationship with you to this world. Pray, Lord, that you would bless our giving, that it would just be multiplied and people would hear the news of relationship, would hear the hope through what you're doing with our resources, Lord, that they would experience you in a deeper way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a couple quick announcements. Church picnic is coming up on the 15th, 10:30 at the Fialas. You know the drill, check for your last name letter, and that tells you what to bring. And we still need some help with logistics and some setup work. So first service responded well. And I'm going to see if you guys can do even better, because we all know that second service is really the cool service, right? So I'll just start that here. If you want to meet some new friends, sign up, and maybe you could meet some of the people from first service, because everybody at first and second service says, wow, I don't even know who those people are. So be a great time to maybe develop some new relationships, so we'll just pass that around. And secondly, Love and War, we have a quick video promo for that, so let's run that.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're
out.
Not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on! Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Okay, guys, so you actually don't need to sign up for Love and War. Just remember... That sounds really hard. And everything will be perfect. It'll all fall in place, right? No, if you are married, if you've been married for 5 days, 50 days, 50 years, it doesn't matter. It is a topic, a subject that is incredibly near and dear to God's heart, and He wants more for you in that. So I would encourage you to sign up for Love and War and really invest. As Jim and Christine said a couple weeks ago, be all in. And jump into that, because God always has more for you. I know I'm looking forward to it. We've been through this, Cindy and I, a couple times, and looking forward to seeing where He takes us with this one. So, Christina.
Well, she's coming up. Is the early bird extended?
Early bird pricing is extended through the 12th of September. I was going to say today, because that would prompt you to all sign up today, but don't put it off till the 12th of September, but you have that long. So, Christina has a couple quick things about the children's for that.
Okay, so we are putting together an awesome children's program for the kids during Love and War. So we'll be in here while the parents are down the street. So what we need is we need helpers. We need people to play with the kids. What we're doing is we're breaking it up so it's like VBS. So we'll be breaking off in age groups, and they're going to rotate through games. So when you sign up, you're not going to be thrown into a room of 50 children wildly attacking you with a lesson plan that you have no idea what it's about. So we're trying to make it so it's going to be fun for everybody. The kids will be learning about character qualities and how to treat each other, how to treat their family. And really, what this is we want to bless the families that are coming, because when they come, they want a place for their kids, and that's one big problem of when you want to go on a date night, what do you do with the kids? So we want to create a safe, fun environment for the kids, and we need your help to do that. This is a great way to bless the community, just to be able to watch their kids and pour into the kids' lives as well as the parents. So I will be out there by the table taking signups. So yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Christina. And then finally, church prayer in Duval, prayer walk in Duval. That's happening on September 14th. If you're interested in that, that'll be a multi-church church.